Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. It's good to be back, as always. You know, been away for a little while. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to speak with you. So, as always, I am always grateful for the opportunity to, give you my perspective on a lot of things that's happening in not just America, but just throughout the world. So before we get started, though, I have this new segment that I do that I enjoy promoting small businesses. So moving forward, when the Anthony Johnson Show is coming, live to you, I like to be able to highlight a small business because, ladies and gentlemen, listen, excuse me, I cannot emphasize how enormous it is for you and I to support small businesses in America. I mean, we should be supporting them no matter what, but especially this pandemic. We have seen a lot of small businesses in this country get closed down. And Latino small businesses have not closed temporarily. They've closed for good. And that's very, very frustrating in this country. We need our small businesses. You and I are wealthy. You and I are small businesses. Small businesses aren't existing, and you and I aren't going into our pockets and books to support those small businesses, then our economy hurts, and it hurts glaringly. It's not saying red dot, which spectrum of things. It really hurts the economy. So I ask that, moving forward, if you haven't, I'm asking that we all show our support to small businesses in every possible way, known. I mean, spend our money, promoting it. You have a show like the Anthony Johnson Show, and I'm sure you may have shows that have a wider audience than mine, even though I have listeners all the way in Canada and England and Germany. I'm saying highlight a business, a small business. Let people know what they're doing. In cosmetics and things of that magnitude, we know that women, especially black women, spend a lot of time making sure that they are aesthetically appealing to the eye, while knowing that their hearts are already pure as gold. Oftentimes, the goal to enhance their outside beauty has come at a high cost to their health and pockets. Dariel Marius is the owner of Classy and Convenient Nails by Dariel LLC. She's an independent color stylist. Color Streaks provides the Classy 100% real dry nail polish strips, and she provides a convenient shopping experience. Ladies and gentlemen, the sets are always buy three, get one free. The various nail design strips range from $11 to $14, and this can be applied at home, in your car, hell, even on the baseball field, and can last for 10 days or more. What we know is that this great product is low cost, easy to apply. So, no drying time, no waiting, no unhealthy chemicals or UV lights. So what are you waiting for? Give the gift of Color Street to yourself or someone, you care for. Ladies and gentlemen, you can learn more about Dario and her fantastic products by calling her at area code 609-658-8609. That's 609-658-8609. 8609, or you can email her, Dariel, DarielSnailBar, at gmail.com. That's Dariel's Nails Bar, DarielSnailBar, at gmail.com. You can also follow her on Facebook and Instagram at Dariel's Nail Bar, DarielSnailBar. Or you can visit her at her website at www.candicnailsbydariel.com. That's www.candicnailsbydariel.com. This is a great product. And once again, as I said in the opening, you will be supporting a great small business. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So in our and as you know, a shameful plug, my new book, A War on All Fronts, I'm just so happy about this book. I'm so, you know, proud of the effort that was put into this book. So my new book, A War on All Fronts, Revisited, 2005 to 2019, is out. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great book. It really is. Critics have hailed it as a fine piece of writing, thought-provoking, factual, great deal of information that, you know, you can use in everyday life. So I hope that if you haven't picked up a copy yet, I hope you can be supportive of my book. You can go to www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net. That's www.anthonyjohnsonbooks.net to view and purchase A War on All Fronts Revisited 2005 to 2020. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. I'm grateful and I appreciate your support. On to our show. Tonight's show is entitled The American Double Standard. And, you know, one thing that we've been seeing, ladies and gentlemen, since January 6th, that awful, horrific day that we all will never forget where we were, we saw American terrorists attempting to take over the government by storming the Capitol and looking to not just tear the Capitol up, but they were looking to hurt, elected officials. Now, I'm sure you and I have a lot of elected officials we don't like, but the last thing that we would be wanting to do is to hurt them physically. No, that's just not the makeup of us. We won't do that because it is wrong. I can dislike an elected official on policy. I don't know them personally, nor do I care to know them personally. And to what we witnessed on January 6th, treason, sedition, American cowards, American traitors, pathetically pawning themselves off as patriots, we watch it unfold live and in color. And we will never forget, 100 years from now, we will be able to tell our great-grandchildren where we were on that horrific day. But the question is, since that happened more than a month ago, what has happened to these individuals, to these treasonous, seditious cowards? What's happened to them? Yeah, sure, some of them have been arrested, but many haven't. Those who have been arrested, many of them were basically sent home. Some put under house arrest. Hell, some even allowed to go on vacation. Can you imagine that? You just attempted treason. And you go before the court and you say, well, Your Honor, I know I engaged in a treasonous act. But, you know, before I was going on vacation, before I did that, I had planned a vacation to Mexico. So can I still take that vacation? I mean, I'll be back in the States, you know, in a week or so, but can I take that vacation? Is that all right with you? Now, you might be sitting there laughing, saying, of course, that's ridiculous, Anthony. There ain't no way on God's green earth something like that's going to happen. But it did, ladies and gentlemen. It did. One of the individuals that engaged in the Treasonous Act was allowed to go on vacation, despite she took part in the Traitorous Act. Another individual, the pathetic-looking Viking, he goes to jail, and he refuses to eat because he only eats organic. He goes to court, and the judge agrees with him. He should be able to eat organic. Not only was the prison where he was at told that they had to make all his food from an organic standpoint, but then after a couple of weeks in that particular prison, he was moved to a prison in which that's all they do serve is organic. One of the other individuals was sent home on house arrest. Hell, one of the guys from the Ding-a-ling Boys or Idiotic Boys or whatever those boys are, Proud Boys, this racist, anti-African-American, anti-Latino, anti-Asian, anti-Native American group, he was one of the leaders. The judge let him go. Basically told him, you're lucky I'm in a good mood. Sent him home. Even though this individual was one of the key figures in, you know, setting up the goal to storm the Capitol. So you may say, Ant, where are you going with this? Where are you going? I'll tell you where I'm going. There's a double standard in this country, ladies and gentlemen. There's a double standard in America because for some people, they will do whatever it is they want to do, and there are no repercussions. And then there are individuals who can't even look in the direction of wanting to do something. Once again, we're having this discussion on racism in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the leaders of the past failed. They failed to make racism irrelevant. Racism will always be here, no matter where we go in the world. But the goal for those past leaders was to make racism irrelevant. It is 2021, and we're still having a discussion about racism. We're still having this discussion in 2021. Oh, sure. You know, again, race, you may say, well, Anthony, come on. I mean, you want to get rid of racism completely. No, I'm not saying that, ladies and gentlemen. What I am saying is that we, the leaders of the past and now us, we have it within our intelligence, our strength, our wisdom to make racism in this country irrelevant. So small and so minute that when someone jumps out there and does something racist, they are illuminated because the thinking is, wow, this is big because it rarely happens. But it's not that way. It is consistently racist in this country. Asian Americans are attacked, Latino Americans, Native Americans, African Americans, even Caucasian Americans, even Caucasians are attacked. So racism is still at the forefront. What are the most important issues that we need to address? You talk, people will say, you take a poll, healthcare, the economy, police reform. Racism is in the top five important things that we need to address. Did you know that? Most polls show that racism is in the top five of things that we need to address. In 2021, that means we're still having it. Racism, unfortunately, now goes hand in hand with America. It's almost like you cannot have America without racism and vice versa. So the questions over, you know, this double standard with regards to the Capitol was why the Capitol Police did not call for reinforcements earlier or use greater force against the mob led to the resignation of Stephen Sun, who at the time was the Capitol Police chief. But some law enforcement experts say that the inquiries into the failures need to consider fundamental gaps in America's approach to law enforcement. Many, including President Joe Biden, have noted a contrast between the treatment of the rioters and the aggressive policing of Black Lives Matter protesters last year. Many police departments in the southern U.S., remember, evolved from citizen groups formed to capture runaway slaves. Oh, he said, uh-oh, Anthony's about to give us an African-American history tour. No. We're at a point now, if you don't know about these, how the police was actually formed, they were formed in 1852. I mean, slavery was still going on. But the efforts, including the Kerner Commission, the Kerner Commission was set up by President Lyndon Johnson to study the riots of the 1960s around the country, because they wanted to find out why there's so many riots going on, particularly in Black and brown communities. It helped to clamp down over racial discrimination. This is what the Kerner Commission report was supposed to do. Alas, it did not. It failed. Americans have been scandalized by the image of a Birmingham police officer setting an attack dog on a Black teen during the civil rights movement. As I was telling my students this past week, I said, you got to understand something. It wasn't that civil rights came about because those who were in power said, we need to do the right thing. It was only because of the advent of television. See, radio and newspaper could not give you the image. You would have to close your eyes to see the image. But when TV came about in the early 50s, it changed the way we looked at things. So when you turned on your television at night and you saw police, attack dogs go after children, African-American children and senior citizens and everyone in the middle, it hit home. And then it started hitting internationally. Once again, America says, we are the greatest country. We are the beacon for the world to emulate. But other countries were saying, how can we emulate you when you're still treating your citizens like three-fifths of a person? While most officers on January 6th had fought off the mob and protected lawmakers, other police officers were more friendly with the rioters, putting on their Trump hats and posting for photos. Two officers were suspended, and more than 10 are currently under investigation. An additional 13 off-duty police officers from across the country are suspected of having participated in the riot. That means police officers from other parts of America went and stormed the Capitol. Police officers. Think on that for a minute. They are supposed to be protecting and serving every American, but many of them stormed the Capitol, yelling, hang Mike Pence and kill Nancy Pelosi. Police officers. What we saw was a white mob being treated in a way they're accustomed to being treated in their day-to-day lives. It made me wonder why that can't happen for Black people. Let me be clear. The Capitol Police has its own history of alleged discrimination to contend with. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. See, back in 2001, a group of more than 250 Black Capitol Police officers had an open lawsuit against the department, saying in court documents that one officer found a noose in his locker and that Black officers and white officers who befriended each other, the white police officers were regularly subjected to racial slurs by other white officers. So it was not shocking to me, I have to tell you, it was completely not shocking to me when I saw one of the police officers taking a selfie with one of the treasonous traitors I was not shocked, because this type of racist rhetoric has been going on in the nation's capital police force for decades. And that is the dichotomy. Because you have individuals, white individuals, and I feel like I shouldn't have to say it, but I'll say it again. I'm not saying every white person is a racist. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying every white person was at the Capitol that day. There were a lot of white Caucasian people in this country that was outraged and sickened. As a matter of fact, the Republican Party lost more than 30,000 supporters. That's right. Most of them Caucasian. They said, I can't rock with that. I can't support that. You were willing to storm the Capitol in a treasonous act. And then you were talking about hanging the vice president and doing all these horrific things to Nancy Pelosi and other elected officials. They switched parties. They went from Republican to independent because those individuals said, I can't support that. When black folks are protesting and progressives are protesting peacefully, they are tear gassed. They are arrested and they are shot with rubber bullets. If you paid attention to the summer, you saw a lot of black, brown, and white protesters. 99% of them peacefully protesting, peacefully. Cops hit them upside the head with billy clubs, shot them with bullets, rubber bullets, tear gassed them. And no one thought that was a terrible thing. Hell, even the former failed president, so he could walk across the street holding the Bible upside down for a photo op, had the police do the same, do that to the people protesting. They were out there peacefully protesting. It's not like the police said, listen, we're about to bring the president across the street. Can you guys, like, you know, kind of move up out of the way? We're just, you know, ABC. No, they came out violently. So the Black Lives Matter protest of 2020, it was overwhelming force from law enforcement in dozens of cities. Chemical dispersants, rubber bullets, and hand-to-hand combat with largely peaceful crowds and some unruly vandals and looters. Unfortunately, in everything you have, when you have that many people, you're always going to have some knucklehead. But those knuckleheads did not outweigh the hundreds of thousands of peaceful protesters. More than 14,000 arrests occurred, ladies and gentlemen, in 2020 with the Black Lives Matter peaceful protest. More than 14,000 arrests. Fast forward to the U.S. Capitol, January 6, 2021, barely more than 100 arrests, several weapons seized, improvised explosive devices found, members of a willing mob escorted from the premises, some not even in handcuffs. The key difference? The file set of protesters were overwhelmingly black, Black Lives Matter, and the Capitol treasonous riots overwhelmingly white. The second group was overwhelmingly white, as I stated, who support ongoing and failed President Trump's baseless claim of election fraud. But that wasn't about election fraud, ladies and gentlemen. That was about these individuals' attitude that they have every right, that when they're not happy with this government, they can storm it. They can try to take it over. But African Americans and other people of color are always called the animals. They're animals. They're thugs. Quick, name me a time when African Americans and other people of color have tried to take over this government. Good luck finding that answer. You know why? Because we never have. Despite the mistreatment in America, more than 98% of African Americans love this country. We love this country. We love this country because our ancestors built this nation. And we just can't see ourselves tearing down something that they built. Yes, there's a great deal of racism in this country. Yes, there are a lot of racist elected officials. Yes, there is the stench the vile of racism in the police since 1852, still exists, if not more now than it's ever been. Yet, we continue to be, the majority of us continue to be law-abiding citizens. Think, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, had black people and brown people had tried to storm the Capitol, they would still be picking up the bodies and in the building. We have a long way to go in this country. We have a long way to go. We haven't learned. We haven't learned. And alas, we continue to go down this dark road of hate. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up and realize that we cannot move this country forward until we begin to address the issues, the horrific issues in front of us? A large white mob engaged in a treasonous act of trying to take over our government. Although some of them are in jail, there were thousands that were out there. About 100 have been arrested. Some of them sent home. Others allowed to go on vacation. Others get to go to prisons to eat, you know, because they can't eat regular prison food. They have to eat organic. When would-be American terrorists watch what's happening, that double standard, they feel emboldened to say, you know what, I can do it too. Because nothing's going to happen to them other than they'll get famous. They feel emboldened. We got a lot of work to do. I want to thank you for tuning into this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. I end the show this evening with We Can Be the Outcome. Rush Limbaugh died this week. To be blunt and factual, Rush Limbaugh was a radio personality who used the airwaves as a purveyor of hate and division in America for more than 30 years. Rush Limbaugh was a petty, vindictive, mean-spirited, and an overt racist. He especially used his vile rhetoric at President Obama. Remember Limbaugh's song, Barack the Magic Negro? And his disdain and hate for the First Lady, Michelle Obama. All of Limbaugh's despicable narratives, all of his despicable narratives, will be forever unforgivable. See, I'm sure there will be people in America who will celebrate Rush Limbaugh's life. I, for one, we'll never do that. Next. Good night.